Chapter 20, continuing our studies on the Ten Commandments. We come to the eighth commandment, verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. That's very brief. But it's very comprehensive. For one to be able to steal, there must be the acknowledgement of property rights. And that spells the lie to communism right off, which denies the right of individuals to own property. There are other passages of Scripture which speak of property rights. Deuteronomy 27, we have a classic expression. Verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. We have that expression occurring several other times in the Word of God. We have it in the way of a command. In the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, where it says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, not only was the land allotted by tribe, but within the tribe, allotment was made by families. And the landmarks oftentimes would be a stone or a pile of stone, and it could be moved in a direction. And there were those who moved those landmarks so as to take in more land or better land. And God has forbidden the removal of a landmark. And he's pronounced a curse upon the one that would remove the landmark. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah, or Micah is the one which I wish you'd turn just now. Micah, the fourth chapter, about the possession of property in the millennial age to come. Micah, chapter 4. Now that's page 948 in this geographical Bible, some people call it. It matters not to me what they call it as long as I can find the Scripture. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. In the top of the mountains it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he'll teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There the Lord speaks of during the millennial reign of the Lord, when conditions will be as nearly perfect as they can be, with sin still being present. Every man will own and possess his own vine. Every man own and possess his own fig tree. The capitalistic system of economy was established by God and is honored by God and will continue throughout the ages to come. Stealing, in its simplest terms, is taking of that which belongs to someone else. And if you would distinguish between stealing and robbing, stealing is taking of that which belongs to somebody else without their knowledge. Robbing is taking something from somebody with their knowledge but against their will. There are three ways that one can acquire property, and only three ways. Two are good and one is bad. One can acquire property as a gift from someone, an expression of love. Secondly, one can acquire property by working for it, toiling and laboring. Or one can steal it, incorporating in the word steal robbery also. Robbery or stealing. As a love gift, okay. As working for it, okay. But by any other means, it's frowned upon by the Lord God Almighty. Now, the very essence of Christianity was giving. And too often today we hear people urge to accept Christ as their Savior because it'll give them more power to get rather than a spirit to give. God so loved the world that he gave. And the Christian way of spelling love is G-I-V-E. Now, there are some reasons or alibis for stealing that are given by various and sundry individuals. One is of necessity. In fact, the Word of God makes provision for a hungry man with a starving family to steal a loaf of bread, but in better days to repay it fivefold. There are those who steal of necessity. Starve or steal? I don't know whether we have much of that in our country or not. The second reason people steal is because of their laziness, their indolence. They'd rather steal than work. And the other extreme, there are those who are living such a fast life and such a high life that they have to steal in order to keep up with their friends or their acquaintances. I have known a number, not many, a few people where the husband and father stole because the standard of living set by the family was so high that his salary, his wages, wouldn't pay for it. And he would steal from the company for which he worked. Embezzlement, swindle. I've had a little experience, not much, of people who have done that. And everyone, without exception, told me that they... Brother Russell, I didn't steal that first $100. I borrowed it on one day, and I was going to pay it back the next day. I thought I had a sure chance at something, and I took $100 and lost it. Then he comes back and he borrows another $100, and he loses that, either in gambling games or other ventures. I knew a man once that I think had money stolen from him in this manner. He was in a tight for money, and he went to a moneylender that charged usury. He found a fellow, say, that would lend him $100 for a month if he'd pay him back $120, something like that. And it went on and on. First thing he knew, he owed him over $5,000. Well, the man who was lending the money at that exorbitant rate was stealing money, and it was contrary to the law. And could have been indicted had charges been preferred against him. But... keeping up with the neighbors. I could use a common name that everybody says, but somebody might think I was trying to impersonate somebody, so it's not keeping up with the so-and-sos, but just anybody that's living a little higher and a little faster, you know, than you are. And one fundamental fact stimulates stealing. And I don't know whether you're ready for this or not. I've just been out here about 24 years, and I don't know whether we've developed a rapport that I can tell you this or not, but the main reason people steal is because they're not satisfied with what God has given them. Oh, you want me to repeat that? Okay. The main reason people steal is because they're not satisfied with what God has given them. Being dissatisfied with that, they get the idea that the world owes them a living. And so they begin to take. Another reason people steal is because of their love of display. They want to show off. They want to create the impression that they are somewhat more than they are. They want people to think they're worth a great deal more. You know, that's the trouble with Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas had sold and disposed of everything that he had and took the fruits thereof and gave it to the church. And evidently, the church made a great deal of Barnabas, as only churches can. It's amazing how churches react to money. Years ago, in another church, a young man and his wife decided they'd start tithing, and his first check was for $80. And when the deacons heard about that, they started a campaign to make this young man a deacon. Well, that's purchasing it pretty cheap, isn't it? $80. Well, they were dissuaded from that movement. I remember one Sunday in that same church, somebody dropped in a couple of $100 bills wadded up together. And when they found that, They nearly went crazy. Whose plate was that in? Yours or yours? Do you remember where it was? Did you see him drop it in? Who was it? I'll tell you. I can't take it. So Ananias and Sapphira decided they'd put on a show. I kind of think it was Easter. I think Sapphira was regaled in all of her finery. They sold their place. And they decided that they would make out like they were going to give it all to the church. But they kept part of it back secretly. And so Ananias came in. As before, they started passing the collection plates. They had to bring it to the front. And he came down the front. He waited till all was going. The preacher was already preaching, I think. And he came in. He brought it down and deposited it all the church. And there must have been a whole lot of oohs and ahs. Sapphira waited for some time for the effect of that to have worn off. And then she came in. I can close my eyes and hear the swishing of the silks and satins. I can see the tossing of her head with that new bonnet. Poor Ananias, the Spirit of the Lord had stricken him dead. And they carried him out and buried him. I never have understood that. Churches kept going on. Death of one of their more prominent members didn't disturb any of them. Sapphira came in. Peter met her. What's this all about? Why have you, your husband, conspired against the Holy Spirit of God and lied to the Holy Spirit of God? Making out like you're bringing in all your money and keeping some of it back. Now, why is all of that? So I want to tell you something. The feet of the young man that just carried your husband out and buried him, they're coming now for you. And she fell over dead. And they buried her and church went on. Create a show. To create a show. Another reason people steal is because of a desire for instant wealth. They want it overnight. They're not willing to work and labor and save. They want it. There are many examples of stealing, and I'm not going to spend much time this evening on the breaking and entering houses and taking out stuff like that. I'm not going to spend much time on the big-time gambler and the swindler, the embezzler, those. There's no use spend time on these people that embezzle hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. I'm going to talk this evening about what people call lesser thoughts and concepts. There's a type of stealing which involves knowledgeable people preying on the ignorance of other people. They find someone that's gullible and they'll sell them something of which they know nothing. I've heard of people buying land in Florida that was 4 and 5 feet underwater. I've heard of them buying these luxuriant ranches in Arizona upon which there wasn't a sprig of grass that could grow. The gullible public. I'm amazed when I pick up the paper and read how an elderly lady here or elderly man there has been swindled out $4,000 or $5,000 of their lifetime saving by somebody that knows of their ignorance and their gullibility and take advantage of them. There are those who steal by taking advantage of hungry poor, needy people and sell them things that are worthless because they're in dire and straitened circumstances and need something. And they get the better of someone. I've seen people, I don't know whether you call it embezzled, but I've seen them cheated out of some of their possessions because somebody knew more about the possessions than they did, and they were in such circumstances that they had to dispose of their property, and they would buy it from them at a little of nothing. According to the Word of God, there are those who steal by refusing to pay commensurate wages for one's work. You might turn to James chapter 5 just a minute, where the Lord discusses that particular group. James chapter 5, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire or the wages of the laborers who hath reaped down your fields, who worked for you, has been kept back by you by fraud. You didn't pay them what you're supposed to pay. Now those wages which you have kept back by fraud, those wages are crying out, and the cries of those withheld wages cry out, and they've entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. And there's trouble ahead, says the Lord. Sometimes people steal by buying goods on credit and then refusing to pay for it. Now, I know that what I'm saying tonight, as a gentleman told me once, is for those who ain't here. The ones who ought to hear it ain't here. I know that. But you can pass it on to them if you meet one. Or maybe you can get them to stop while you play the tape. But there are lots of people who have no regard for their just debts. I've known lots of people run up large accounts with a friendly, considerate merchant and then go some other place to pay cash. Because they're afraid if they go in that same store and pay cash, then they expect them to pay some on their account. There are those who steal by misrepresenting the goods they sell. Lots of people today buy things at wholesale, little realizing that they're 15, 20 wholesale prices. I don't know myself the value of goods. And when I buy anything, I have to take the merchant's word for what I buy. So, I try to buy in the main from those whom I know. And he said, this is what it is. We'll take it. I had training early in life. I got caught in a store once when I was about 15 or 16, and the guy sold me a suit that was 4 or 5 sizes too big for me. I couldn't get out of there until I bought it. He made me buy it. I couldn't say no or anything, but that was a good deal because having to wear that thing for 2 or 3 years was the best lesson I'd had in my life. It just... But goods are misrepresented. I bought a suit soon after I came to town. And, well, it's about the first year I was here, I think. Had it cleaned fresh and it came back. One sleeve was about this long, the other that long. I took it back to the cleaner, who wasn't a member of this church. And he said, clean had nothing to do with it. It's material. I took it back to the merchant where I bought it, and they said it wasn't the material, it was the cleaner. And so there I was left with the one-sleeve coat. Well, I never wore it again. I never went back to that store myself to buy anything personally, and never went back to the cleaner. Of course, neither one missed me. But that's immaterial. Misrepresenting goods and things that they sell, people can steal that way. Another way people steal sometimes is by endorsing unworthy products and unworthy people. I'm called upon sometimes to endorse somebody. I don't like to do it. I don't like to sell anything I have to a friend because I think sure as I did it'd break down. And they think I sold it to them of a purpose in that condition. I hate to recommend a friend to somebody to work because it might not prove satisfactory, and I think it was my fault. I had a preacher minister in my church once in my early ministry. He came with recommendations of the leading preachers of the state. This is the finest man, the finest preacher you'll ever find or have. And I took him on their recommendation. After the first service, he began to want to know when we was going to take up an offering for him and how much we usually took up and all of this and that. And all he talked about was money. Money, money, money. Then he objected to the place where he was staying. Nothing was right about the bed or the lights or anything. I finally got a little money together and gave it to him 2 or 3 days later and told him he'd catch the first bus out of town. Well, a few months later, I got a call from a large church clear across the state saying, Dr. So-and-so said he held a meeting for you and for us to call you for a recommendation. I didn't know what to say. I just said, well, if he hadn't changed since I saw him, you don't want him. They said, that's kind of what we thought. I appreciate your word. You can recommend them. Someone comes to me and they want to be recommended for work. If I recommend somebody for a job here and they begin to play the Hungarian Rhapsody on the cash register, as some describe it, or begin to take home goods. I had the chief of a security guard here in town tell me that one member of the staff of that store that sang in the choir of one of the large churches of the town had carried home over $9,000 worth of goods during the year. It wasn't one I recommended. It wasn't even one I knew. But I said, see what happens when you recommend someone. When I give an endorsement of somebody or something, I want to be able to say concerning the person, they'll cause you no embarrassment, whatever. They'll do what they tell you. And if I can't say that about them, I'll just ask them to excuse me. And I have. I've told more than one. I'm sorry. I cannot give you an endorsement. But the average person will go ahead and give them an endorsement and hope it works out and hope they don't catch up with them or something like that. Just get rid of them. But I don't. Endorsing something. Endorsing products. I have to buy lots of stuff sometimes. And it doesn't worry me. Well, now what I'm about to say has two sides, so don't get disturbed at first mention. More than one person has stolen a whole lot of goods by bankruptcy. Now, there are legitimate cases of bankruptcy. There are. And the legitimacy of the bankruptcy is evidenced in the fact that when the one who had to take the bankrupt law, when he gets the means, he pays off his creditors. One of the finest young men I've ever known was in South Texas. His father died owing everybody in town. And this young man worked and worked and he worked. And he did without and did without and did without till he paid every debt his dad owed. I went into the town to pastor the First Baptist Church just about the time he had paid off every debt. And some months later, on their profession of faith, I baptized him and his wife. This young man was working a farm at the edge of town worth $500 or $600 an acre. I think it's 200 acres. Belonged to a lady in Iowa. She died and gave it to him when she died. And then right after that, the school wanted 50 acres of it to build a brand new high school. He got a fortune for that part of it. They struck oil on the other part of it. And I've never seen one person, hardly, outside of a few, that have been blessed more than he has. Now, there are some people who take the bankrupt law as often as they can to get rid of their debts. I was talking to a merchant some time back about bankrupt cases, and several that owed him large accounts had gone bankrupt, and now he was back charging a large bill to him. I said, I don't understand you charging the bankrupt. He said, well, the bankrupts are one of the best accounts we have now. You find somebody just going bankrupt and sell them on credit, you see, and they're paid for a while. On and on. I don't know very much about the business, but there are those. On the other hand, the bankrupt law has been provided by the law as a haven of refuge for needy cases, and there are many needy cases that have been blessed and profited by the bankrupt law, but they acknowledged their debts and took care of them when the time came. There's another way of stealing. Evasion of taxes. I think Peter was one that started it. You know, he went into the Lord one day and he said, Lord, there's some tax collectors out here. Are we supposed to pay taxes? Or
Are we supposed to pay taxes? I used to hear an old saying. I don't know whether you'd understand what it means or not. So many expressions I use, nobody understands. Someone asked me the other day how I was getting along. I told them I was busy as a cranberry merchant. Well, they want to know how busy was that. I said, I don't know. I never saw a cranberry merchant. But I've heard it all my life. It sounded good, so I thought I'd use it. Didn't know I was going to have to account for it. But the other expression which I refer, you may know what it means. Not I don't know what it means, but it sounded good. Somebody said, he who dances has to pay the fiddler. I don't know what that... But if you're going to have good roads, you're going to have school and everything, you're going to have taxes. And in this country, if you make an income, you're going to have taxes. Of course, some people enjoy paying them without fussing. Some people enjoy fussing and then paying, and so forth and so on. But Uncle Sam has made innumerable ways for you to cut down on your tax if you just take time to study or get somebody who knows to help you study and find out. There are other ways. If you don't, you can pay two or three times what you're supposed to pay or something. But the Word of God says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. Another way people steal is sometimes getting back incorrect change. Two persons were getting on a streetcar once, and one dropped their money in. The other was pushed hard by and didn't get a chance to push the money in. After they sat there for a while, they said, well, now to quiet down, I'll go up there and put my money in. They said, oh, there's no use. You don't owe them. You've paid for this streetcar already and more, too. They owe you money if they really count it up. But you're not supposed to. Well, I wouldn't pay. And it went on and on. Finally, they went on and said, well, I'm going to pay. I want to. And so they went up and dropped the quarter and gave it to the busman, and he handed them back change. And they came back all smiles, just shaking all over, said, look, it pays to be honest. I gave him a quarter and they gave him back change for 50 cents. You thought you found a fourth way to get things, didn't you? And one makes three that legal. You agree with giving. You agree with working for it. You don't like stealing. But you think if you find something, finders is keepers. Did you ever find anything worth something? Did you ever find a $3,000 mink coat? We did once. Did you ever find about a $1,500, $2,000 diamond ring? We did once. I'm turning to Leviticus chapter 6. See if that chapter's in your Bible or somebody tore it out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, lie unto his neighbor in that which has delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add a fifth part more unto it, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of the trespass offering. He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Another portion of Scripture states that one is to seek the owner of the found lost article or articles until found them. He finds something. Another way in which people steal and get things fraudulently, and like I said a while ago, these things not applicable here, but we're just discussing the whole command. There are people who live on the county or the city when they could be working. I have known of families getting 2 and 3 and some 4 or 5 Social Security checks. One family. I've known people take an oath of poverty when they had money in the bank. Our life is so complicated today, there are 10,000 different ways in which people can obtain money by stealth. There's a diversion of funds, embezzlement. Dealing with stocks and bonds. I've got a friend here in town. A certain bank was made trustee of the estate after her husband died. They sold many of her stocks without her knowledge. Profited by it themselves. And stealing from her. I've known people in financial institution which I was working when I entered the ministry, Savings and Loan Association. I took the place of a man that had stolen thousands of dollars from the institution. Another man working there while I was there was caught stealing from the firm. Many, many different ways in which people steal. Dr. Phillips, the father of the late D. Cecil Phillips, used to talk a great deal about people stealing time. He used to meet you at a certain time and you showed up 2 hours late. He'd tell you, you've stolen 2 hours of my time. I want to read you another passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You might say that what I've been speaking about in the main is out of the Old Testament, so we'll turn to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Here Paul is writing to the Christians in the church at Ephesus. Now let him that stole steal no more. That's what he's writing to the brethren in the church at Ephesus. All right, now don't steal anymore. But rather, let him labor
working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That he may have to give to him that needeth. I want to mention one other passage of Scripture. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, saith the Lord. Wherein have we robbed thee, said the children of Israel? In tithes and offerings, said the Lord, ye have robbed of me. Now, I want to emphasize the difference in robbery and stealing. Stealing, you take something from an individual without their knowledge at the time of the act. Robbery, you take something from a person against their will, but with their knowledge. So that when one takes from God, it's robbery because God knows. And God doesn't want you to. Tithes and offerings. How many Christians have a concept of the fact that even though the state recognizes that a certain portion of land is ours, you go to the abstract title and trace it back, it goes to some grant of some country. I don't know about this part. In the country from which we came, nearly everything out there, you can trace it back to a grant from some Spanish king. But that's as far as it would go. Beyond that king, you couldn't go. They had no record. The land belonged to the Lord. Though the state said we had a title to it, it's the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The refreshing showers which we have are from the Lord. And the glorious sunshine is from the Lord. All that we have is from Him. And when the Lord said to Peter, upon his question, shall we pay taxes to Caesar? The Lord said, you pay to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and you pay to God that which is His. Now many change the figure, which is contrary to the Word of God, and contrary to good English, contrary to good language. They change the figure. They make that read, you pay to Caesar the taxes that belong to him, and you pay to God the spiritual service that belongs to him. That's not what he said at all. You pay to God the taxes, Caesar the taxes that are due him, and you pay to God the taxes that are due him. And we owe God 10% tax. For the use of his land, for the breathing his air, for enjoying the benefits of the sun, the rain, the showers. Now, you pay them. You pay them. I'm not going to preach a sermon on tithe or anything like that. Packard Automobile used to have an advertisement or a slogan that I appreciated. That used to be one of the popular cars back in the old days. I don't guess any of you ever heard of a Packard. Anybody here ever hear of Packard? What was their slogan?
I had 1927.
What was the slogan?
The slogan was Ask the Man Who Owns One.
And you had one?
I had one.
Oh, I'm glad to know you. Well, that's about like a Rolls Royce is today. A Packard. Okay, enough of that. Ask the man who owns one. And here's my sermon on tithing. Ask the man who tithes. Don't ask the man who doesn't. Ask the man who tithes. I've never seen or known a dissatisfied tither. Father, bless this study and meditation. Our good. Give us a conscience.
on these commandments. It'll bring honor and glory to thee and joy and peace to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.